Welcome, everyone, to round two of the Bridgestone Canadian Superbike Championship. Marshall Ferguson here alongside Colin Fraser and Cam Bickle. We are currently looking over the paddock as we are in the media center at Grand Bend Motorplex, brought to you by Marine Power Sports. They are doing all sorts of, Northwest. What am I saying?
Northwest Marine.
Northwest Marine Power Sports. Sorry,
Southwest.
Southwest. South by
one
Southwest?
Of the, one of the West.
Are we in Austin? No.
No, we have to buy a compass, apparently. We're a little mixed up.
It is Southwest Marine and Power Sports. I just said it 15 times while we were shooting our stand-up for the TSN episodes perfectly, but here we are. It is the lunch break on Saturday, and this has been a really fun, entertaining day. We're going to have the full recap for you, doing YouTube live stuff and everything else coming up later on this afternoon into this evening, but we didn't do an episode yesterday. Part of that is because I have my 3.5-year-old son, Noah, here, and he just demands a lot of time and energy and focus. The other part of it is that we did have some news that we expected to come out officially on CSPK.ca, and it did so Saturday morning. Cam, you have been looking into this, covering this, writing about this. What has happened? What is the announcement here before we dive into what this means with you, Colin?
Yeah, so the official announcement which went out this morning is that Ben Young is going to be joining Team Taro Plus One BMW for the Suzuka 8 Hours in about a month time, five, six weeks time, which is obviously a very prestigious World Endurance Championship event. It's kind of the crown jewel of the World Endurance Series. Very, very historic event. Not many Canadians have typically competed in the event, but very, very renowned and a big opportunity for Ben and a good big deal for our series.
Anytime that I hear anything Suzuka, it feels big. But what is the actual context of what Ben Young has just accomplished? Because we knew, and you and I had kind of talked about it on our round preview, that yes, he was going over there and people started to kind of talk about it. But there's a difference between going over there, having a fun experience, learning a lot, and being told, hey, we need you back here in a month's time.
So essentially it was an audition, and Ben probably pre-COVID had a reasonable couple of opportunities to do things with BMW, and unfortunately a lot of that went away. And I think this is a residual that BMW would like to do more with Ben, but also Bridgestone, right? Because tire war is a real thing where there's races like Daytona where there are multiple suppliers. Suzuka is one of the few. World Endurance does not have a spec tire. And of course, as you can imagine, Bridgestone is a Japanese company and they've had a lot of success at Suzuka. So it's an opportunity for Ben, but it is a tricky thing and you don't want to play it up too hard because he didn't go. He wasn't signed. He had to go and ride and show what he was capable of. And from what we understand, he was maybe a half a second away from where they wanted to be. He told us in his first session he was 4 seconds off. And at that track, which is really daunting, four seconds is a fantastic start for your first time at the Suzuka track.
Wow. And again, I guess big picture in terms of Canadians that have done this, what this means when you look at the career retrospective and all the rest, like, how do you think Ben will look back at, regardless of what happens when he's actually there in a month's time, to accomplish getting told to come back and that they are interested in him moving forward, what will that mean to him 10, 15, 20 years down the road?
Well, it used to be all the top North Americans went to Suzuka 30-odd years ago. That was common. In fact, the race got famous because Yoshimura Suzuki gambled to bring their American superbike riders to the race when it first started. People like Mike Baldwin and Wes Cooley were the early stars of the Suzuka 8-Hour, and that built its prestige in North America. So in 89, 90, 91, probably 40 North Americans were going over. Reuben McMurder, who was the 88 Canadian Superbike champion, he was one of the very first North Americans to go because he was supported by Shuey. They put a lot of effort and money into his program. And so Reuben was there regularly. And then Crevier went and had some good success with Honda, even though he was a Kawasaki rider in Canada at the time. He was riding for Honda, Arian Honda in the States. But most notably of the recent crop, and it's not that recent, it's just over 20 years ago, Jordan Zoch was very strong at Suzuka. And those bikes that were the Corona Suzukis for the EBSCO media team, that program was actually Scott Miller from Fast Company. He built those bikes. And they had some very, very important riders, including Anthony Gobert on that team. And we were looking up the results, and I think, Zoch was, his team was ninth and third in his more production-oriented class. But yeah, we've had some efforts, and Jordan had a great time over there and was well-received, and he would definitely go back if he was asked.
Yeah, no doubt. Cam, we were all at Daytona together, and we saw the Yart guys, right? It was the Yamaha Austria Racing Team. It was, I'm trying to remember their names. I know there was Carl Haneke, there was...
Carl Haneke, Marvin Fritz, and Nicola Canepa.
There we go. My guy nailed all three of them. But to be able to see Ben Young go to Daytona. And it wasn't a head-to-head, obviously, because there was 1,000 different variables, whether you want to talk about... I guess those guys were on Bridgestones, actually, though, right? Yart was. So, but to have them...
Well, also, they were on Ben's radar, and it's interesting now
that he was paying
special attention to them. Did he have some notion that this was cooking?
And I remember...
Which is probably all Bridgestone, right?
Right, but I remember what we were at, I want to say, in that group one, in one of the practice sessions... And Ben was running, not with all three of them in a pack, because those Yart guys, we talked about it all during the Daytona podcast. They were a package group. They walked everywhere together. They ate meals together. They were on track together. But there was a couple of times, and specifically there was that one practice session, Kim, where I remember Ben just kind of inserting himself into their pack and kind of riding with them for a while and keeping pace. And obviously at Daytona with the banking, there was I pass you, you pass me, and we go back and forth and battle. And that's kind of what he's gotten himself into. I genuinely wonder how much that Daytona, A, experience, and B, exposure, and maybe even C, him knowing that if he rode closer with those guys, it might make him look better for this opportunity. How much Daytona played into all of this? Because it seems like a natural progression.
Yeah, Daytona is obviously much different than what those world endurance guys are used to. It was a 57-lap race. I think the winners last year did about 220 laps at Suzuka. And they're riding as a team at Daytona. They're all individuals. But nonetheless, those guys, you know, Marvin Fritz, I believe, was fifth. Carlo Hanico was sixth. Maybe it was the other way around.
As either if you
way,
remembered all three of them, by the way.
They were fifth and sixth. Ben Young was ninth. Yeah, they were a little bit up the road from him. But
Not that far, though.
He showed that, you know, in a relatively even setting that he can run with those guys. And they're the reigning world endurance champions. They didn't win Suzuka last year, but they won the overall season championship.
And just to be clear, and this is important, Suzuka is populated by factory bikes built at the factories, which are a drive from the track, right? Yeah. So the Europeans come over looking for points. They've got standing in the series, but there's a whole other tier above the regular competitors of the teams that are built to win the 8-hour. Qualifying is live on television. The race is on TV. Qualifying's Thursday. The race is Saturday. So it's really kind of Friday night that we'd be looking to see how Ben is doing. And it's an incredibly competitive. It's practically a sprint race, but it does have some specific rules to do with fuel that force them to be careful on engine spec. And Ben was telling us he's concerned about how slow the bike is going to feel when he races it. But also, that time of year in Japan, crazy hot, crazy humidity, huge chance of big thunderstorms. Like, you never know what you're going to get. And also, you know, I don't think we've heard yet who's coming from World Superbike, but always there's a few guys. And it's a way to cement your relationship with your Japanese manufacturer to ride with the star guys from the Japanese, all Japan World Superbike Series. So, like, Jonathan Ray and those sorts of people have come over to do that. And it is definitely, particularly if you're a four-stroke street bike class racer, success at Suzuka is like one of those things you have to have on your resume.
Well, and that's the one thing that I think we should give some context to for people that aren't familiar with Suzuka, and they hear something like, you know, Ben Young was half a second off the pace that they thought, you know, how is that possible? We know how good Ben Young is. I think you should give some context to the fact that Valentino Rossi won this thing once. You know, Casey Stoner went there. Jonathan Ray has won it a couple of times. Paul Espargaro a couple of years ago won this thing. So obviously it's part of a team. But, you know, there's some really loaded MotoGP, World Superbike, British Superbike, you know, possibly Moto America, some high-end names in the racing world on this list. And for Ben Young to even earn a spot amongst them is obviously a huge compliment.
And grabbing from your article as well on CSBK.ca, the Team Taro Plus One BMW squad finished an impressive 16th out of 50 teams at last year's Suzuka 8 Hours, achieving a best result of 14th in 2022. So again, that puts into context the fact that Ben's not going over there as like some fly-by-the-seat-of-the-pants, a team randomly grabbed him. Like you said, Colin, it's a factory team, but it's also a team that has proven themselves, and they've brought him in to ride for them. That shows a sign of respect.
And also within that 16th that they finished last year, they were the second BMW team. It's not an event that's typically dominated by BMW. Honda has won it like 29 times or something like that. So he's very high on BMW's radar at this event, and for good reason.
Now, did we mention who owns the Suzuka circuit?
Go on.
Honda.
And so what role does that play into all of this in your
opinion? Well, Honda view it as home ground as well. Yeah. They should. They own the place. And, you know, it's an old school, Mosport style, really fast, challenging venue. And not, you know, your average club racer doesn't want to ride an endurance race at Suzuka. It's too hard, right? But Ben, at this stage in his career, with the discipline we've seen from him in our series and in other races, particularly Daytona, he's at the perfect time in his career at age 30 to go there. And, you know, I mean, best case scenario is he earns a place and climbs the ladder in the structure of Suzuka, right? He becomes a Suzuka guy.
Right, yeah, that would be amazing. I guess the other thing that we should kind of tie in here just before we wrap this quick little update and this great story about Ben Young and his accomplishments is I found it intriguing. Like, I came into Grand Bend on Friday right when Superbike qualification was beginning. And you could see, you know, Q1, whatever, feel it out, get yourself in that top 10. Q2... Ben had to kind of scrap and find time and figure some things out, and he was obviously up against it, but it was tough, man, to see him kind of wrap those things together and be able to actually turn it into a lap that's worthy of our BS Battery pole position.
Well, I think what's interesting there is, you know, he had the crash in the morning. He had just got off an airplane. You know, he's probably a little jet lagged. He was playing that down. But the flip side is, you know, his team was quite honest that they chose to fix that bike, and it wasn't completely fixed. It wasn't a straight motorcycle. So, you know, Ben reached into his bag of tricks, and I think it's very discouraging for the rest of the field because, you know, the people thought this is our chance, and there were some very impressive times there. But in the end, the same guy put it on pole.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, that is going to do it for this. Quick little update for everybody out there. Get you some more context and information around all things Ben Young and Suzuka coming up. Of course, we will cover it extensively here on the Bridgestone Canadian Superbike Championship podcast. For now, thanks for listening. We will talk to you coming up later on this afternoon. We got some races to go watch, boys. It's going to be a great, great day. We'll talk to you coming up very soon here from Grand Bend Motorplex.